great to have you. And I find it a pleasure whenever I get the opportunity to preach God's word and teach God's word. And of course, you technology too
always seems to go against you. How's that for a while? All right, just take me to here. I'm fine. These little things. Hey, his works. I'm not very good at being formal, so I'm glad for all the informalities that are happening. But this week, we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we've been taking each phrase as we trail through this journey. And this evening, we're going to be, what Tim gave me was Matthew 6, 19 through 24, talks about earth versus heavenly treasures. And I thought about this as a title here. To whose glory are you living? God's or man's? If you think about the songs, it talks about whose glory we really should be living for towards. So let's read Matthew 6, 19 through 24, and it'll be up on the screen. Is it going to change, or do I got to do this?
Well,
can you get it? Thank you. Okay, there we go.
Sorry.
It's all right. Do not lay upon yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay upon yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust and neither thieves do not break in and steal. There's a play on words there. For where your treasure is, there where your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great is your darkness? No one can serve two masters, neither he'll hate one or love the other. Or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. That's next. There we go. So as we think about this verse, and Pastor Tim is usually up here, and as you all know, he has chicken pox real bad. So I'm going to pray for him, and then we'll get into the God's word here. My Father, I want to give this sermon to you and this message to you, Lord, that your spirit will come upon us and help us think and be clear. Lord, please we'll lift up Pastor Tim. It is with his chicken pox at an older age. It's supposed to be harder. Lord, just heal his body and that he can come back and join us and lead us in your word. In your wonderful name, amen. All right. So as we go with this, whose glory are you living for? Is God or yourself? And we're going to focus on three things. We're going to focus on human, our man's focus, heavenly focus, are in as believers what we should be focusing on. So let's start with earthly focus. We're always looking for ways to make money, aren't we? You always hear all the TV programs and all that, different ways to make money. Well, I've never really been for one of those people, so it was really hard to figure that out. So I went online, I thought, ways to make money part-time. So here's one of those. This one company, you could take surveys, and you can earn $40,000 every year. I mean every day. Although that was pretty good. I was kind of curious what all that entailed and all that. But another one on the website was, we can join the website. This website paid over $17 million to take surveys per year. And sometimes we always look at this, and I never was for it, so I can't really get you guys excited, but hopefully you all catch the gist of it all. So just think, a lot of times we read all these things when we're trying to make money and earn money, all that. We think, how can we bless God? And we try to build a better, can we build a better church building? Can we have good pillars? Have a good old cathedral as a building? We think, oh, that'd be all cool. God would be really blessed with our huge building and all that. Okay, you all are looking at me a little weird because that's not what I'm after, am I? Good. I got good listeners. So how about another way? Let's say we work hard, 60 hours a week. Yeah, not bad, right? 6 or 7 days a week. We're in Luke. No, Matthew. 6 or 7 days a week or less. Yeah, let's put about 50% in our 50% a month of our income and only live on that. Sounds pretty good, right? See where our focus is in? You're going to see as I give these examples, we're missing one key element. I'm sure you all already figured it out by now. Okay, last deal. Let's follow the successful, wealthy people. And just read their books, study their books, and become like them. Because, you know, they became wealthy doing all this stuff, so why can't we? Well, I'm glad you guys are like, what is he talking about? I'm getting there. Just be patient with me. You know, you always got to build the platform before you give the message. And something I'm working on as a young preacher is trying to build my platform. So, seems like we're really focusing a lot on money, a lot of time and all this, but we seem to be missing the key element. Yeah. So you guys, I'm glad you're still looking at me like this. So let's look at the first three verses, Matthew 6:19-23, as I just read, and we're going to read it again. It says, do not lay upon yourself treasures on earth, which is all this stuff that I've already talked about, all these material things, where moth and rust can destroy, where thieves will break in and steal. And we go on to the next one. But lay upon yourselves treasures in heaven. I thought this was an interesting part. We will go over what treasures in heaven are. Where neither moth nor rust will destroy, or where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart will be also. For the eye, where the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, not that you can see clear 20/20, you got to go a little bit past that, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your body will be full of darkness. But then, if the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So how great is darkness? Darkness is dark, correct? If we turned off all the lights in here, it'd be dark. There's not, well, this is a little bit dark. Well, right now it's kind of a little dark, but you get my point. So, the desire of earthly treasure, is it good or bad? Okay, click the next one, Tim. Thanks. No, to go back. There we go. Alrighty. I usually do that. Our pastor, Tim. I'm sorry, guys. All right. Anyways, the desire for earthly treasure, is it good or bad? In a believer's mind, it should be bad. In a person of the world, is like, I don't see nothing wrong with making money. I can use money. Who can use an extra couple bucks? You know, I got a raise not too recently. My boss told me how much it was. You know, an extra $2. I said, is that an extra $2 a week or hour? A year or a year. There we go. Year. Oh, man, don't give him any ideas. that would be good, not good. So, the treasures on earth are all evanescent. When we see the beauty of the spring, the flowers and all that, we see the beauty of the spring, we enjoy the fall, the summertime of all the nice weather, the trees and the nice cool breeze, the picnics and all that, and then fall comes and you start seeing things dying off. The leaves lose all their pretties. They turn this bright color, then they're dead. And then the dread of winter. Coldness, dry, all the trees and all that is all kind of gone. And then we remember the past summer no more. And then we start focusing on something else. And that's usually how treasures are in heaven, our treasures here on earth. Something lasts for a while, just like the seasons do, and then they just slowly fade away. Just as our memories when we grow old, too. You know, I'm just not, you know, only, it changes every year. I'm 57 years old. And then the memories of my childhood fade away. There may be some things that bring up, but everything fades away here on earth. But I do remember the people that I poured my life into, or see them now, you know, serving God. I jumped ahead of myself. So, the lawful possessions of earthly treasure is no sin, as they say. It's good to have some wealth, but what are you doing with it? We are to live a good life and treasure what God has given us. You know, what God has given me, I treasure and I keep because he's given me, and I'm going to use it for his glory and for his work. The text does not object to, as you see, the text does not object to getting rich in righteous ways, in a right way. There is a way to be rich in honoring towards God, by giving to the needs of the church and helping others that are in need. God has been, it's called being a good stewardship, and we can all go into that some other time, but when you're given stuff, how can you help other people? It doesn't mean you should go shave your head and live in a tent on the street, because then that all, you know, and you make $80,000 a year, then, you know, that all goes into pridefulness. So let's go back and look at the first verse. It's Matthew 19. says, do not lay upon yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Here's what Jesus is talking about. Click next. There. Here's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about how we store our possessions. What is our focus here on earth? So, well, I mean, do you have a bunch of fine clothes? I mean, I do a lot of electrical work, and I'm in a lot of people's expensive homes, and there is closets. Sometimes I get lost in the closet. This lady actually had a little side room off to her closet. It was like a half bath. It's like, what do you do with a half bath and your walk-in closet with the mirrors and all that? I mean, she had all this fine clothing, all rich. She always worried about the dust getting all on it. And then that's just another example. Do we have things that we always keep under lock and key? You know, all of our possessions. There's another house I did electric work in. You go in the closet, you open up a door, these special doors, and you have this keypad up here, and you open up this other room, and it's all of his ammunition. Everything's in there, big old priceless stuff and all that, but he hid it all. You know, what good is it? You got all that. Yeah, it's kind of cool, you know, you show your friends, but what good is it? What does it do to heavenly things? I know where I'm going to go if something bad happens to the country. I know where he lives. It's been a few years. I keep on thinking that. I never forget that one. So, do you have things that are locked under and key? I mean, there's okay to have some jewelry and stuff like that, but is it so much that you fret over it, that you worry about yourself? I'm not going to get overboard with this, because we can, but I believe that there's a balance in life with everything else, as the scripture teaches us.
Right.
So, there we go. I think I killed that horse. Do you have nice things and worry about someone might steal them? And as a thief breaking in, you know, you always got to. Are you spending most of your time with self-seeking pleasures? Let's get in our own self. You know, is it like, hunting? I know some people that hunt all the time. I know people that play golf a lot. I know people that fish a lot. There's people that bicycle. I used to bicycle a lot. And I tell you what, that self-pleasing pleasure took me away from Sunday morning churches, socializing with people, because that's when everybody did it, and you slowly get away from it. You and your mind have made up, well, it's okay, I can witness to other people, I can do this or that, but you're missing the fellowship of other believers.
Right.
So, or sometimes we get so busy, you just have enough time. I'm glad my church service is in between this time, because I'm busy all the way up to then afterwards I can finish. The same thing with our study, Bible study, our times in the morning. Do you just skim over the Bible because you know you woke up late because you were out late doing stuff and you just have no time for the Lord? You kind of skim through it all, but you want all of his blessings. So Proverbs 23:4 says, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Be wise enough to restrain yourself. And the verse after that is pretty much the key verse. It says, this is how it would be for anyone who stores up treasures for himself, but is not rich towards God. And that rich is the richness, I think, the love you have for Christ. Amen. It's not money. It's not anything but the love. How much do you really love Christ that you're going to give yourself everything you have for it? And you all know the rich young ruler story. So, and I don't have that in there, but there was a side note on that I think he's the only one that God said, follow me, and he rejected. And a lot of times we do that because we want our stuff so bad. So you may say it with yourself, I'm not rich. Jim, I could just tune you off right now, click you off on the internet, or I can go now because I'm not rich. I can just go and go home. I only make 40 or 50,000 a year. That's not much. And you have nothing of value to steal. So why even worry about it? You know, why are you talking about all this? Why don't you go to the millionaires out there in St. Albans golf course or all these nice, you know, do and all and preach to them? Well, That's not what we're talking about here. What is being said is, what is your main focus that draws you to have it as your identity? Is there something that you draw on that, hey, I want people to identify me like this? And you spend all your time and effort like being a... There's nothing wrong with having the hobbies of, you know, I'm not going to pick on golfing or any sports stuff like that. You know, or bicycle, I have a cool bicycle clock and all that stuff, but... Your main focus should be on Christ, and that's what we're going to eventually get to. Do you spend every diamond that you have in minute? Would you give up time to tell your friend about gospel? Because what if they know that I like Christ? They ain't going to play golf with me. They ain't going to go bicycling with me because I know Christ, you know. But then again, when we get sick, we want all of his attention. So how should we be?
Luke 12:33 says, sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with treasures in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth will destroy. So this is a tall order. It's really, really tall. It's even hard for us because I think what it means by providing yourself with purses that will not wear out, are you spending your money all the time? You have some, I can help the Lord, now I spent it all on this. But do you constantly have enough flow? It's being a good stewardship. And the Bible talks about being good stewards. I believe everything should be in balance. And that's how we should do, balance our life. Balance our life in reading. Balance our life in working. You know, if something's taking too much time away from your family and your kids, sometimes you have to drop stuff. Sometimes even church stuff you have to drop. Because you're spending so much time doing it, you're wearing yourself out. You can't be that good mother. You can't be that good father. You know, and it's just, and I know somebody just recently told me that, you know, and it's like praise for her, you know, single mother, doing all this stuff more than I see most single mothers doing, and had to give up something she really loved for her kids. And you can't beat that. Yeah. To me, that is following Christ, that is giving up stuff, you know. Yeah, she could probably really be really good. So let's go into point two. And this is a 7-point sermon. No, I'm just playing. Only three. That's a pastor joke. What is heavenly treasure? Oh, no. I'm not there yet, Tim.
You're not there yet?
No. Our eyes should be focused on the building of God's kingdom here on earth. Not that God is going to live here on earth, but our kingdom's here on earth. And I know that it gets really, really, I'm walking this fine line for this, but if you follow me through, because I know there's a lot of, like, I know when we die, God's kingdom is really in heaven. But I mean God's kingdom is like the church. God's kingdom as people here, every one of us has a little part to do. Just like tonight, you know, it's Pastor Tim's gone. That's me. I'm the next in line. Sorry. So as we want to pray for his health, so he'll be back again. I could be behind the screen and do other things. But anyways, but that's beside the point. And different people have different jobs. You know, Melody sing when she's not here. We have to go a cappella. You know, but eventually it kind of goes pretty fine. But when I'm talking about heavenly treasure, where are you pouring in other people's lives so that they will have us, they could walk and work on their sanctification towards Christ? Mm-hmm. Where are your eyes focused on? Mm-hmm. So, have you ever watched a movie in like the medieval days where one person is spending all their time building this kingdom? You know, like you always watch like in England, oh, I'm going to have my kingdom and everybody's going to be good. A lot of times we have that here on earth. I'm going to have all these stores and this big kingdom, I have this big old house. Because in St. Albans golf course, while I was doing this work, I see out of this guy's house way in the distance. Huge mansion. I said, wow, they have a hotel here? I was being serious. He goes, no, that's just some financial guy's house. And the first thing in my mind is like, I want him to do my finances. But that's forbidden. Everybody can see his house, how wonderful it is. But wouldn't it be nice to build a kingdom where people see God's house and will want to be like him and be with him? Yeah. And that's what I really believe, that this is what it's all talking about. So we are to treasure the Lord Jesus most of all. When Jesus is our treasure, we will commit our resources, our money, our time, our talents to his work in this world. Yeah, a lot of us can just take off Sunday nights. It is an easy thing to do and rest for the work week. But no, my time is here. People want to hear God's word on Sunday night? Yes. I would provide that. I'll give up my time for that. And so have other people have done that. So our motivation is what we do is important. It reflects who we are. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it backs that up. It says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And slide done. So Paul encourages the servants of God, Paul encourages servants that God has eternal reward for all those who are motivated to serve Christ. Whatever you do, work with all your heart as you're working for the Lord. This is the big thing that's really hard in the workforce. Because sometimes we have some, I was going to call them masters, but we have bosses that are not really fun to work for. And you got to take your mind and focus on, I'm here for Christ.
there might be another person here that needs Christ, and I'm going to be here, not because of how horrible that boss is, but how wonderful I need to show Christ in this atmosphere. You know, I'm lucky I work for a very good boss that's a family man or family first. And there's a family issue, no questions, if take off, go bye, get out of here. I'm lucky. He's a good man. So, like, if you guys, I don't know who's all working tomorrow, but tomorrow, do you even think about that Monday as you go to work? Today, I'm going to work for the Lord. And that's what I have to do all the time, because I see a bunch of people all throughout the days, 3 or 4 jobs a day. And I have to remember, I'm not working for that person. I'm working for God. Each house that we go into, or each place we go in, we're representing Christ. We're that visible representation of the invisible God, you know, that nobody sees, but yet we have faith and believe in him. So in Colossians 3:23-24, it says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord we will receive the inheritance of your reward as we are serving our Lord Christ Jesus. Some acts of service may be little, some may be large. They are not overlooked by God's eyes. Yes, singing takes a long time. Preaching does too, teaching God's word. But it's all for the glory of God. Running the slides is easy. Going over there with all the sound equipment is good. Making sure that communion is ready. People got these all little things. And it just all works for good. It's just like in a house. You know, you have kids and children. When everybody works together, everything goes smooth. Isn't that right? When mom says do this and that, it helps her out to make things smooth. So this is the next one. This is funny. I always get called. This is what I call a verse run. So I'm going to be hitting a lot of verses a lot real quick. But they'll be on the screen. The reason is that this is not my own thought. I want to show you that it's in God's word. You know, like what we like preaching here. Everything comes from God's word and we abide by it. Because without this, we're standing on our own self. So I got all these scriptures here and just kind of follow along. Some people may seem it's thing. But the first one is not on the slide. No, I mean, I'm not going to go there, Tim. Next one. No, back. There we go. Thank you, buddy. Brother, that's actually my brother. So Matthew 10:42 says, if anyone gives a cup of water to the one, these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you that that person will certainly not lose their reward. As I say, in the smallest reward, somebody's thirsty, you know, give them some water. And it doesn't have to be a little kid, it could be anybody. You know, the Lord will be faithful to reward us. And we shouldn't be striving to see how much rewards, because he doesn't say what reward is greater and all this stuff. It can go on and all of it. But then that would be out of a prideful heart. So what you want to do is you want to be yourself, who you are in Christ, and keep on striving. Hebrews 6:10 said, for God is not an unjust, so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. Oh, Tim, that was supposed to be on the screen. There you go. There it is. See, I didn't make it up. All right, next slide. Not next slide, stop. There you go. All righty. I'm teaching him. See, it's good parts, you know. He's going to learn, and that's how we learn and how we all operate as a church. Everybody learns when somebody's not in a certain position or whatever. You jump in, you fill in so that the kingdom of God can be done. So Hebrews 6:10. Okay, I just did that. Side note, rabbit trail. Our ministries may differ, but the Lord we serve is the same. The man who plants, the man who waters, have one purpose. Each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his wages according to his labor. So, is I'm going to say, you know, hey, you know, because you did it, you get $8.50 rubies in heaven. You get 15 brownie points over here because you did it. You get 30 because you get that. It just says your rewards in heaven. Because it shouldn't be for our glory. And as we walk with Christ, it's for his glory, not for us. And that is very hard, because that pridefulness in us starts, you know, I want to be that good Christian. I'm going to blah, 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 do all this. So that way, I would look good. But you want to make Christ look good. I'm almost getting there. Our rewards in heaven depend upon the goodness and power of God. This is a lengthy verse I didn't put up there, so you can follow along with me or read it later. It's 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. And a lot of our stuff is read out of ESV. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfailing, kept in heaven for you. Oh, boy. I'm sorry, I lost my place. Who's by God's power, by being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice through now have a now for a little while. If necessary, you have grieved by various trials, so that the test of your genuineness of your faith, more precious than the gold that perishes through it, is testified by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have may not seen him, you love him. Though you may now, though not see him, you believe in him. And rejoice with a joy that is inexpensible and filled with, and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of souls. So you, I know, not, as we walk as Christians, we don't see Christ. We do it because of our love for him. It's loving someone for not seeing what your reward is going to be. And that sometimes is very hard. We would say, well, I'm going to like that person, and let's see, what do I get out of it? I want to show this mercy to that person. Hopefully I get something out. We shouldn't do that, because then that's, we're doing it out of pridefulness, wanting something back. So we should serve Christ, not for what we can get out of it, but for what others can be blessed by him, by us speaking the truth of his word. The things we do in this life are only permanent, that is, carried us into heaven. So the things we do as Christians for the glory of God is carried out in heaven. It's not here on earth. What I do may fade away. People tomorrow may forget what I talked about. Maybe you did or didn't. But yet, I know that I spoke God's word. I know that I'm carrying it out. Maybe there's something that the Holy Spirit did convict you on that you need to go and search for. So the last is 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. It says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day it will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work which has been done. If the work that has been done is built on the foundation that foundations survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only through the fire. So that's a lot. That can be a sermon in itself, but when you build up, you know, you build up something to make, you know, a big, like I said earlier, like a church that has pillars and all this fancy stuff, or a big old glass cathedral, you know, chapel that you can go and worship in, is all for your glory, all for, you know, look how good I'm doing to Christ. But then it fades away. It's tested by fire and all this stuff. And the same thing for our work. You know, are we going to do something in God's work that's going to last forever? Is it going to stay forever? Do what is worthwhile for the Lord, not what is worthwhile for yourself. This whole topic can be a sermon in itself, so I'm just going to lay it right there. I'm going to talk about our eyes and where they can be focused. Going from the prize should be in God's glory, not your own glory. And I think I've repeated that enough times, maybe even for myself. The eye is the lamp of the body. But if the eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how great is your darkness? Jews at that time typically perceived the heart as the seat of your intelligence, will. Jesus' teaching reflects the view. People's choices and actions are shaped by the things they cherish the most. What do you cherish the most? You worry about somebody breaking your car outside and stealing it? Nobody's going to do that, but you know, I got new people in here, so I've got to be careful. But that's what I'm saying. Do you cherish that? I was like, well, my car got stolen. I got friends that pick me up. I'll take care of it. God would lead me on. Do you cherish maybe your house is burning while you're away? Do you cherish everything in there? Or is it like, God saved my soul, and I'm good now? You know, it's what are you cherishing? Is it so bad that it runs through your mind all the time? So you got to ask yourself through this as we get in close, what is your spiritual condition? There's different shapes in darkness. There's no different shades of darkness. You're either dark away from Christ, dark in your own thoughts, or you're shaded with his light. You know, there's no lukewarm, you know, who's lukewarm Christian? What does God do with them? Shoot, my time's running over. I was going to tell another story, but I'm going to go past that. All right, verse 24, the last of this. It had to do with the lights. If you guys, my mind would be curious, what was the story he's talking about? It was a movie I seen about a lighthouse. I'm going to tell it anyways. It's about these three guys on the lighthouse way back in the early 1900s. And someone shipwrecked on the island. And then they eventually found in this case gold. Well, through the whole story, what happened was that one guy said, no, we shouldn't bother. We shouldn't look in it. Two people of curiosity found up three big gold bars. And they end up killing everybody over it. And one guy survived, and I don't think but at the end, what it was is all that selfishness and greed, because they focus on the value instead of focusing on the principles. Here we go. So the problem that Jesus identifies is not the money, but divided loyalties that result in the pursuit of money. And so 1 Timothy 6:9-10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a large snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that purge people into the ruin of destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. If though this craving, the some would have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. And what I mean by piercing themselves is that, you know, you just mess up the whole situation. You know, you're running after that just like that one, you know, just like back, I guess I have to use the story, just like back in that movie, that one guy, he wanted that gold so bad that he was making sure the other person, he got like, well, I think that person is going to not steal it from me. And they have all these arguments and strife, and then some other people came and searched for the gold, and they end up killing. So all this was just because I want this bar. A lot of times I think we can apply that to our own life. What are we striving so bad that we really get aggravated? Well, he broke my $5,000 golf club? I don't know why I'm stuck on golf. I don't even play it. but you know, how about bicycles? You know, there are $5,000-$6,000 bicycles. You know, he broke my bicycle. You know, and then the old joke for bicyclists is that if I die, I hope my wife don't sell the bikes for it. I told her how much I bought them for. So, you know, it's the price of everything. So, just as we can, you know, piano, guitars. Oh, sweetie, that's only a $30 guitar. No, he spent $3,000 on it, you know, or a piano or whatever. So what do we have that is hindering your faith? That's basically, I think, what it was doing. What is hindering your faith? What is hindering your walk? Maybe this week we can examine that and we can walk and we can refocus our focus. So they want to end with, who is your master? Is your master Christ or yourself? You know, we must accept Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins by asking him to cleanse you. You know, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Romans 10:9-10, call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Oh, no, that's 10:13. I wrote this down. Oh, I got these memorized as a kid. Now my brain goes, but. As we end today's sermon, and before we do communion, which my brother Tim's going to do, the other pastor Tim Crenning, and we're think about when we take the cup and the blood of Christ, what he did for you, and are you willing to follow that? So I'm going to close in word of prayer before we do communion. My Father, thank you for your time, Lord, in your word that teaches us against our flesh, Lord.
Lord, help us this week to be more like you in the things that we do. In your name, amen.
Amen. Did everybody get a communion cup? As we come as part of our service, I just want to think about that first night. Actually, I think about the first church. they were, they first met together, the first church in the book of Acts, how they met together and they sang, they worshiped God, and they broke bread and gave, you know, thanks to the Lord for his blood, his body, and how important it's for us to remember. I think today we live in a society where people have forgotten about God. People have forgotten about his holiness, his treasures, his life. And tonight we can take part of that, remember what God done for us on the cross. And if you don't, and tonight, if you're not saved on Christ, your life, this element won't save you, but you today, you can just pray to ask Christ to come to your heart and save you as a sinner. And if you do know Christ, let's partake together and remember what Christ did for us on the cross. So at night, as Jesus was there with his disciples, he took his bread, his body, and he says, "This is my body is broken for you. This is my body that I broke for you." So he broke his body. And then we're going to partake. And he said, here's my blood, which I shed for you. And does it need to be part of God's blood? Does it need to be God's child? It doesn't seem so together. Let's partake. Let's remember what Jesus did for us. Let's take his life. Let's drink together. Father God, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you help us tonight to remember what you did for us. We thank you, God, for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for the glorious gospel that even through the ages of time, here 2,000 plus years, Lord, we still are preaching and still teaching and still partaking in the great gospel of Jesus Christ. So help us to be a church that's ready and willing to give the gospel to others. Help us be faithful